This message came about by something that happened to me personally. And then secondly, this message is for me also. So as I share it with you this morning, and I forget to say we, but say you, please remember that it's we, because it's just for me as well, as a reminder. Let's go to a very familiar scripture there in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. And I'm going to start reading with verse 4 and then verse 5. So it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So you look at the trunk that's providing all the nutrients, because it has its deep roots, and is providing all the nutrients and everything else to that branch. He's the one who's bringing that provision to us. He's bringing protection to us. He's also bringing the sustenance. And it's only our job to do what? To maintain and be in Him. Stay connected to Him. That's our job as branches in all of this. Sitting there, and I believe, you know, we don't see that a branch, you know, when you go by, and especially a branch off an apple tree, I believe, I know I can make this, you know, make this apple. No, it's just there, and the apples come forth out of it. So, again, it's just something that we read, and we, you know, just going back a little bit, myself, I've read this and I've, you know, meditated on it sometimes, but when things happen in the world, when things happen in our everyday lives, we have to kind of remember these things to what? To help us now know what to do in that time frame. And the moment we start looking at ourselves, brothers and sisters, that's when we start to die. That's when we start to die, because you cannot be your own God and produce fruit. Let me say that again. We cannot be our own God and produce fruit in our own lives. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit." If we abide in Him. What I'm talking about basically is staying connected with Him, is of our consciousness, of our awareness of Him. That's what I'm talking about. Our everyday lives, are we conscious of Him, that we are in Him, that we're one with Him in that manner? And you'll find a lot of things that, you know, when Jesus was going through life, especially when in the book of John, when he was talking, he was constantly making his statements like, "The Father who sent me, He's with me." He was talking about his consciousness of his Heavenly Father always being with him. His Father is on the out, on the inside of me, and He does the work. I'm the Father, and the Father is with me. That I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. So he's constantly talking about his Father. It's almost like he's talking about that his Father actually believes that his Father is real. That his Father is, you know, like he was talking to his Peter, James, and John, you know, as those real right there with him. And that's his consciousness of how his Father was always with him. And that's what he wants us to understand. That we have to be conscious in our everyday lives as the trials and tribulations, and we've got a nasty, you know, enemy that comes against us and trying to always try to kill, steal, and destroy us. So our consciousness, our awareness of who we really are, okay, and our position in Him. Where is my position in Him in that manner? So, as he said, I only say what my Father says. I only do what I see my Father doing. Again, talking about his consciousness, his of that. 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." So in the context of this scripture, in this chapter here, basically, He's saying you can't be exalted if you're caring. God can't exalt you if you are caring. So there's the you're not going to have any fruit if you're caring. So what do you got to do? You got to get rid of your cares. If you want to see fruit and it to produce in your life, you got to stop caring. Now, let me stop here and just interject this, okay? Because, like I said, I'm talking to myself as well. Because the big thing is, how do I do that? You know, how do I stop this caring? We're going to get to that, okay? My job is to be the branch. My job is to be the recipient. And so, it's God's job to care for my family, for my job, for all the other things in life. And the thing about it, brothers and sisters, is that I have found out personally that He wants to do that for us, if we will let Him. But again, it goes back to our, unfortunately, our pride, thinking that we need to do, you know, if we don't, have you ever heard that saying? If I don't take care of it, nobody will? Or if I don't take care of it, who can? It's pride. A prideful thing. And that's the way that He deceives us. Because He causes us to what? We're so accustomed to always, you know, taking care of ourselves, taking care of matters, especially, you know, as parents, as, you know, whatever. We want to take care of a situation. We want to take care of a matter. Especially when it means, it talks about, you know, it involves our children, our grandchildren, whatever it may be, our spouse, okay? But the thing about it is that we have two parts. We have the trunk and we have the branches. Without Him, I can do nothing. But in Him, I can do all things. He strengthens me. When it says He cares for you, basically, He's saying you're the object of His affection. You're the object of His affection. He wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us in every aspect, in every way, in every manner. It's His job to take care of you. It's His job to produce peace in your life. It's His job to produce healing in your life. It's His job to provide the finances that you have that need of. It's His job to do all these things. Our job is to stay connected to Him. Be one with Him in that. Now look with me, because then He goes on to say, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Notice that the person that Satan can devour is a person who has cares. He's looking for that person who has cares, because he's the person that he can devour. Get rid of your cares. Why? Because Satan is going about like a roaring lion, making himself believe, you know, cause you to believe that he is the lion. Again, back to identity. We have to understand that we are the lion. It's not him. If we can get to the point that we set aside those cares and we decide that there's not going to be anything that would cause me to care, and I'm not going to, because I want to protect my peace, then that's the point that we need to get to. And again, it's how we treat the situation, how we treat the care, how we treat the matter. And I will get to that as I share with you my own testimony. So, but the thing about it is to protect your peace. It doesn't matter what the situation is going on, how bad it looks, or get your eyes off of you, because the moment that you turn your eyes upon you, you will begin to die, basically. Die in the sense of now you're getting more into enemy's territory. And remember, his MOS is to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. How he does it, it doesn't matter to him. If he can do it in any way, he will do it. And so the moment that we start to turn inward, is we start to become unfruitful. And that's what God is telling us to do, is we need to be careless while need to listen to me. You need to be careless while you are being cared for. Let me repeat it. You need to be careless while you are being cared for. Casting your cares upon the Lord and let Him care for you. Okay? So we have to live a careless life, and that sounds absolutely really stupid, but you've got to live a careless life. We have to determine, I'm not going to live this life, and I'm going to live this life and refuse to care. I'm casting all my cares upon You, Lord. Peter steps out of the water, okay? His eyes are focused upon the Lord. He starts walking on the water. His eyes were focused upon the Lord. Kept his eyes. He was carefree. And the miraculous was happening. He was experiencing the miraculous as his eyes were focused upon the Lord. As he was carefree in that manner, the fruits were being produced in his life of experiencing the miraculous in those areas. And you know as well as I do what happened when he took his eyes off the Lord. He saw that, hey, there's a raging sea out here. This is not as calm as I thought. Well, when he stepped out of the boat, it was just as raging then as it was. But his eyes were totally focused. So that tells me something, that whatever has our attention has our faith. Whatever has your attention in that manner, that's where your faith is going to be in. And that's why we have to be very careful of what has our attention. What are we submitting our attention to? Is it a care or is it a truth of God's Word? So it was about a month and a half ago. We were at home and Susan got on her bike and she said, I was doing something in the garage or whatever. And she said, I'm going to go take a bike ride. And I said, okay, good. I'm finished doing what I'm doing here. So basically she said to me, I'm going around the loop. Okay. So anyway, I get involved and I all of a sudden I looked and it was 45 minutes, almost an hour had gone by. And I stopped and I looked and I looked around. Her bike's still gone, whatever the case may be. So I said, I wonder where she's at. I wonder what happened, what happened? Did anything happen to her? That's when the what ifs started coming in. Now, let me stop before I go on. Have you ever had a situation come to you and all of a sudden you feel a fear coming on you? It's almost like a spirit, and it is a spirit of fear. And it's the spirit of fear is a tormenting spirit. And you feel like you're almost like in a straitjacket, and you can't get out. You want to get out, but I had that feeling. And I'm being very open with you and very truthful with you because I don't want anybody to go through this. Okay? And so I start getting these little thoughts. Well, she had a fall on her bike a long time ago. She fought, maybe she fell. Maybe she fell and she hit her head and she passed out. I mean, Satan, he did a job on me. He was putting one thing in front of the other, in front of the other, in front of the other. And dumb me, I was listening to it. Because it involved my wife. And then he brings the other part. What are you going to do if she dies? He threw all that upon me. And you talk about one scared, fearful Puerto Rican. I kid you not. I got in my truck and went looking for her. I figured I was going to dump the trash. I went up to the trash. It's on the way where she would have been pedaling, where she would have been riding. And took the trash, got rid of it, came back. On the way, I was going to go around the circle. As I went around, I came by the house. And I saw where she had come back. I had to steady myself, really, at that point in time. She said, "Hey, I'm back." And I said, "Just give me a few minutes." Because that's where the enemy comes against me. He needed to chew her out. That's what he wanted me to do.
You did.
not the way I really want. So I had to go inside. She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Just give me a few minutes. Just give it, you know." She's trying to figure out what's wrong with me, because she went around, she did her own bike ride and everything else. Everything was fine. But brothers and sisters, the agony that I went through, and the unfortunate for me, the paying attention to his lies and deceptions and his garbage, okay, that really, you know, it got me. And that's when I went inside the house and I said, "Just give me a few minutes." And that's when the Lord started ready to talk to me. He said, "You fall into that, those lies, those deceptions. That's the way the enemy comes against you, son." He said, "Can you trust me with her?" Ooh. I said, "Yes." And he said, "Then cast that care upon me, because I can take care of her." When he said that, I knew how I had been so deceived, how I had been lured into an area where it caused me to have a feeling over me that I never want to have again. But it helped me to understand, and it brought me to study and to understand that I do need to cast all my cares upon Him. That's how I can be responsible as a husband for her, is to cast my care upon Him. Because He can care for her, He can take care of her a whole lot better than I can. And that goes across the board with everything in my life. Whether it's my wife, whether it's my child, or my grandchildren, anything and everything. Whether it's myself, my physical, you know, being, everything. I cast that care upon the Lord. He can care for me a whole lot better than I can care for myself. And the thing about it, my brothers and sisters, is that in that time, in this month and a half that this happens, He has proven it to me that that's what He wants to do. And just the little things that I would think that, you know, why am I going to bother Him with that? No, He wants me to call upon Him. He wants me to exercise, because what am I doing? I'm exercising those little things. So whenever I would run into a bigger thing, I've already got that momentum. I've already got that assurance that He is there to care for me.